The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Send me know that you're not alone. I'll love you.
See Live Off the Record with Chivago Lang is brought to you by Bahamar, Bahamas First General Insurance Company, Bank of the Bahamas, Burger King, The Cleveland Clinic, Everybody Wins, Janae's Uniform Center, Prince Masters, RF Mega Trust, Southwest Plaza, Star General, Insurance Made Simple, Storm Frame, Tampa General Hospital, and Wendy's.
From off the wall, give that baby back its ball. Leave all the people things alone. There's not a way to get involved. Get involved, and don't be no fool. Stay in school. Let your mind become a tool. Church were made for fools to be. Locked away from society, society, society. Get involved.
Medicine and treatments become triumphs. At Cleveland Clinic, it's more than just repairing what's broken. It's how we put ourselves back together to reconstruct, rehabilitate, and restore the things that give us life. The future of orthopedics is already in motion. for every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic.
At Star General, you can go gold. Comprehensive car insurance covers loss or damage from accidents, fire, theft, and third-party liability. But the Gold Package gives you increased coverage for rental car and windscreen, personal accident, medical benefits, deductible waiver, and 24-hour roadside assistance where available. Our Star General Gold Package also gives you up to $2,500 for accidental damage to a rental car anywhere in the Bahamas. Go gold with Star General. Insurance made simple.
New school year, new gear. From uniforms to laptops, a Fidelity personal loan can help you check every item off of your kids' school list. Jump into back-to-school season with ease. Apply for a Fidelity personal loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Managing your investments just got easier with RF Bank and Trust. You can now deposit funds directly into your investment account from any local bank using your brokerage cash account number. It's simple, secure, and funds are available within 1 to 2 business days. Just log into RF Online to find your account number. Add RF Bank and Trust as a payee in your preferred banking app and send your funds directly to your RF account. To learn more, visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
Mind us how we used hungry for some serious beef? Then get ready, because Burger King Nassau is bringing back the double quarter pound king. That's a full half pound of flame grilled beef topped with melty cheese, tangy mustard, crunchy pickle, and fresh onions. Served on a toasted sesame seed bun. Classic style. Big flavor. Big protein. Big satisfaction. Get your double quarter pound king meal with medium fries and a drink for only $10.35. More food, less money. Only at Burger King Nassau.
Did you know that world-class medicine is just a quick flight away in Tampa? Tampa General is Florida's premier academic health system and one of America's top hospitals. Our global medicine program delivers advanced treatment options, assists with coordinating travel, and provides cultural support from a multilingual team. Discover the power of academic medicine at Tampa General's Global Medicine Program. For more, visit tgh.org/global.
If you need anything in regards to painting, Bahamian Paint has everything that will satisfy all your painting needs. Sandpaper, rags, paintbrushes, tapes, tarps, spackling paste, putty, putty knives, disposable spray guns, caulking, expandable foam, hydraulic cement, paint thinner, and solvents. And that's not it. The list goes on. Industrial coatings for any industry. Remember, Bahamian Paint has all you can dream of when it comes to your painting needs. Bahamian Paint on Harold Road and Mackey Street. Call today, 326-3425. This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join me here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are, of course, live, I hope, on Cable Bahamas Channel 969, or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel, I hope, 612. So let me explain some about the delay. So when I ran in Marco City, we had a tight situation and we had a recount. And someone went to I had won, but somebody went during the recount to the opposite side, the PLP's team, and said to them, oh, y'all didn't hear, y'all won in the recount. And man, they started celebrating. They had a motorcade and so forth and so forth. It was a cruel joke, but it did in fact happen, right? Thought that maybe this morning, for all those people who were calling around these talk shows, saying, oh, you all in here, they fire Lang off of Guardian Radio and so forth and so forth. I thought we'd give them like a good opportunity to celebrate this morning. I mean, this noon. Give them a good solid hour to celebrate for a little bit. And then to discover, not so, right? I apologize for the delay. It was unavoidable on my part. I'm so sorry. But thank goodness we're here. We're here. So sorry about that. Sometimes I wonder. Anyways, nothing I can do about it now. I apologize to you, Mike, fantastic listeners and our sponsors for that. So students are returning to school. And I don't know if you remember what that was like yourself, the excitement, anticipation, you know, for most students, not every student, but for most students, you got brand new everything, brand new uniform, books and all that kind of stuff. And you're excited. I don't know that there's necessarily great excitement about learning, but I know there's a lot of excitement about the newness of the situation and returning to school and seeing your friends and so forth and so forth. Right? But it's an exciting time, and it should be. It should be for parents, not just because they get to have these kids off their backs and during the course of a day and full day and up them in an environment where they are contained and supposedly in a positive situation. Should be an exciting time for educators, because they are doing one of the most noble of tasks, of jobs, of vocations in shaping minds and you know, and providing knowledge and skills that can help people navigate their world for the rest of their lives, right? It should be an exciting time for students. And we wish them well. And we're going to do some things on the show to kind of help along the way. But every year we have this annual national address by the Minister of Education. Now, I called and asked some people who I could find out from, like, where that started. And they couldn't help me with where it started. The first national address on education I am aware of. I am aware of. Now, I would love if you are out there and you heard a national address on education prior to this time, let me know, please. The first national address I heard was by C.A. Smith, who became Minister of Education under the first Ingram administration. That, therefore, was in August 1992. And I remember Mr. Ingram making a speech in Freeport, Grand Bahama, and where he announced CA would be the Minister of Education and indicated, this is His Excellency Cornelius A. Smith, former Governor General of the Bahamas, and he said that Mr. Smith would have to leave Grand Bahama right away because school was getting ready to open and they had many things to do. And I recall Mr. Smith making a national address at some point. I don't know if that was the first one. If you are out there and you're listening and you heard a national address by the Minister of Education before then, let me know. But what I did want to know was, like, what's the point of the national address? Now, I suspect that in the newness of the circumstances in which Mr. Smith found himself, you know, having to take over the education enterprise in such a short period of time for opening, maybe it provided an opportunity for motivating students and updating the public on the state of the education plant, the state of the education system. And I suspect that every national address thereafter was about motivating parents, students, teachers, the society, about the education enterprise, and then updating the society on the state of the education infrastructure, the education human resources, the education plant and enterprise. I suspect that meant it, except I think that far too little of the speech, that I have seen in recent in times in years gone by, FNM and PLP, I think that far too little of it is really dedicated to motivation. Like, I don't recall that too many people walk away from these things motivated. Right? You get the, oh, we're doing all this, we're doing in education, we're doing that, and this is happening, and that is happening. And we have these chronic issues about what is wrong with the plant, what are we deficient about, chronic issues. I'm going to talk about that some more, but very little of the motivation aspect of it. I do recall Dame Ivy Dumont and Glenys Anna Martin. I do recall that there was a certain humanity, a certain sincerity, a certain real pulse about their education national addresses that really were, I found impactful in terms of, you know, saying to parents and students and teachers in education how important this enterprise is. And I do recall that, but a lot of them really are not that. And it has to be an indictment on our leadership over many administrations that so many chronic issues in education remain. Let me give an example, right? And I think that these problems are better or worse sometimes depending on the situation you're in, which administration is in, or so forth, right? And that could be in an administration or between administrations, right? You have an organization, you have an enterprise. It's called education. What are the most fundamental things in that enterprise? Most fundamental things. Like the one thing you got to say, listen, if the rest of these things aren't 100%, 90%, this here has to be 100%. What are those fundamental things? And this is true about any organization. You go to make a speech to pitch an investment proposal, and these things surface. They surface, right? What are those things? One is, what is your plan for delivery? How are you going to deliver the product or the service you say you're going to deliver for what have you? What is the strategic edge, the strategic impetus, the strategic approach that makes me believe that you are going to win at this? That's the first thing. You cannot lay that out for somebody. You ain't got no plan. You ain't know what you're doing. That's the bottom line. That's a fact of life. Anything you're doing, what's your strategic approach? What is it that you say? What are the choices, decisions that you are making that you say are going to cause you to win at it? That's the first thing. Let's be sure. Be clear on that. You don't have one of those, you ain't gonna win. Well, if you win, you're gonna win by accident. Once you persuade somebody, you know what? I got a strategic approach on with this product, this service that I have. Yeah, I have a model that I think will win out. Mind you, there's no guarantee. Life could present all kinds of things that could impact the effectiveness of your model, of your strategy. But you got to have one that's convincing, one that really, really makes you think, yeah, this can be a winning year. What's the second thing? Who is your team, in particular, your leadership team, that's going to drive this plan, this strategy, this approach? Who's that? So you go into a school. Who's that? That's your principal.
That's your vice principal. That's your guidance counselors. That's your department heads. That's the team. They got to have the strategy. They got to drive the strategy. They got to champion the strategy. They have to execute the strategy. How is it possible to begin a school year and you don't have your team in place? Like, how do we explain that? I really don't know. Like, so, well, let's put it like this. Something is happening in the education enterprise over many years, it seems, because my understanding is what is confronting the Honorable Chester Cooper this year is not new. This is not new. Now, maybe in the way it was handled in the past to avoid it coming to light in this way, wasn't done this time, but it's not new. And I'm asking the question, what is the chronic shortage, in particular of principals? What is it? Is it a lack of qualified people to be principals in the family island? Maybe is it that you just don't have the talent in the family islands willing to or able to be principals, or people outside the family islands willing to go to the family islands to be principals? This is and can be a real chronic issue for many things in the Bahamas. I'm sorry, our family islands are lovely places to visit for many, many, many of us. But as places to work and settle down, far too many people feel like they are either a hardship arrangement or a kind of upability trap and so forth, and they don't want to go. And so, but what is it? Did you get the sense? Did you find out from the Minister of Education what the issue is? Why that's a problem? Why that difficulty exists? I don't know. But this much is true, though. You're opening schools and you don't have the requisite principals. You think the union needs to tell me that? Maybe that's something you give people a heads up before even your national address to say, I'm working on this. And then educators, teachers. Right. I'm talking about not, we know we're going to have a shortage this year. I mean, like, what does it take to know what you don't have in your education enterprise? Nothing but attention, vigilance. And then, now, what do you do about it? This chronic issue. If there is a global deficiency, if you say to me, listen, man, no matter what I do, where I go, we're going to have this deficiency. How about you tell me that now? How about you tell me, listen, I can tell you, come next year, we're going to have maybe 20% deficiency and what have you. We're working to try to avoid that, but this is going, because these things are happening. Okay? I want us to have a leadership that is straight talking. Now, to his credit, any number of times the Minister of Education said in his national address, I'm not going to gloss over this. I'm not going to this and that and the next thing. Yeah, but I'm talking about more than that, man. I'm talking about being communicative in a way that gets ahead of the curve. School is opening. Some union leader pops up. You know, principal at this school, you know, principal at that school, you know, principal at the next school. Some Facebook page leaks. Oh, we need 300 teachers. So we're trying to get them from this place to the next place. Oh, we have this school. I mean, people standing around videotapes of schools with garbage here and garbage there. I mean, if it's real, like, come on, man. Come on. Come on. Come on. So let me tell you, right? What we are observing in these challenges that we have, and let's be clear, if the Free National Movement were in power, if anyone else was in power, you would still have challenges. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the way these challenges are being handled in advance of their public disclosure, and the way they are being handled in light of their public disclosure. The bottom line is leadership. That's the bottom line. Some people may not want to hear this, may not like me for saying it. There is a need to upskill the leadership capacity of the people who lead in the education enterprise and other enterprises, but I'm talking about education today. There is a need to upskill the leadership capacity in the enterprise. Okay, we're around here upskilling all kinds of other people in all kinds of other ways. Just because you appoint me to a post does not mean that I have all that is needed to do to lead in that post. It doesn't mean I have nothing. It doesn't even, you may be a good leader, but maybe for the circumstances, a good leader isn't good enough. You need a better leader. And a good lead, and any leader would be on a continuous path for development, because what they want to do is win at the task, win at it, right? And there are things that are necessary for that to happen. We'll talk about on the other side of the news break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lime, your host. We'll be back after this news break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, everybody.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, everybody.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. This is not a pre-recorded show. This is not a replay of a show. I am actually live. Could you imagine that? Actually live. We're going to have, after this show, we're going to have the great Earl Thompson. It's going to be on for 2 hours, giving it, playing it real and doing what he does. And so great lineup taking place on Guardian Radio. So this text says, only national address on education was for COVID. These jokers making national address for nothing, says this text. This text is, good day, Mr. Lang. I'm wondering why it is that some may wish that Guardian fire you. Maybe they are afraid of you and what you are doing in teaching us in sincerity. Be not dismayed. Now I see why you does play them songs saying I'm not afraid to take a stand. This text says, yes, you were right with your statement about upskilling those in leadership roles in the schools and the Department of Education. Some of them barely know how to use technology themselves. Signed, a teacher who resigned in 2019. Not good. Not good, a teacher. You left. This is when I teach about or train in leadership or coach in leadership. And I'm not by any means suggesting that I am any exemplar of leadership, but I know a couple of things, right? And this is what I know. When you are in leadership, if you are in education, if you are in the ministry or in the department, or you are in the school system or anywhere else, let me tell you something. When you are in leadership, do you want to know what your most essential characteristic need be? Most essential. Because everything starts with this. I want you guys, see if you could venture what you think the most essential trait in leadership is. I don't even know that many people in leadership across the globe would necessarily choose this one, but this is what I believe. Tell me what you think it is. The most essential trait in leadership. Everything else falls on this. If you're listening out there and you're in leadership, maybe you agree, maybe you won't agree. But tell me what you think. The most essential, I'm talking about, it's the first one. Jesus was asked one time, what's the greatest of all the commandments? So don't tell me there ain't no greatest or first. And he said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body. And the second is like unto it, to love your neighbor as yourself. What's the most essential? The most essential trait in leadership. Most essential. What do you think that is? Anybody? Text me. Text me on 422-4796. Or you can call whichever. This text says, be a good listener and know how to follow. Those are great. Great and very important and related to, but not it. Not it. Not it. Someone says product knowledge. Very important, but not it. Someone says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. A lot of teachers have left Ministry of Education because of its bureaucracy and treatment of its staff. A real cause for concern, okay? Says, leading by example, treating others the way you want to be treated. Very, very important stuff. Very, very important indeed. And I'm not suggesting someone might not likely say that. They are the most important, but it's not the answer I'm looking for. Somebody says vision plan. No, very, very important, but no, because this trait is the thing that will get you there. Somebody said service, very important, critical, but no. Because you could serve and not lead. I mean, you know, you could serve and not lead. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Line is Paul Major. How you doing, guy?
Hey, sir. How are you?
Good. So having been CEO five times over, I can tell you from my experience what it is. It is responsibility and accountability. You cannot delegate responsibility and accountability. Because you can delegate function, but you can't delegate responsibility. You got to be able to take responsibility for everything.
Critical. But I want you to stay on, Brother Major, because I want you to stay on. So in all my surveying of the leadership landscape and the leadership enterprise and the leadership practice, you know what I have found is the one thing from which everything flows, including what you said? Curiosity. Curiosity.
I don't know. Only to the extent that some things are so well defined, and you just need to make it work. You don't necessarily need to be curious, but you got to be accountable.
Here's the thing:
you got to take responsibility and accountability for it.
But here's the thing. I'm not going to argue the point with you, but here's the thing. If I walk into an organization that's well run, I have to be curious enough to know why it is well run. What is its mission? What is its vision? What is its human resource capacity? What is its financial? I have to have that curiosity. And I'm telling you, you know, I read a book once that says, what do you do in the first 100 days? You know what it says? Shut your mouth and learn.
I believe in
curiosity.
That.
But that's curiosity,
that.
Though.
So, yeah,
curiosity drives that.
I wouldn't argue. Except what you're saying. But I'm telling you, too often what I find is leaders blame others, throw others under the bus,
not,
or find excuses for why things didn't happen. That's why a lot of businesses fail.
Not disagreeing with that at all. But the reality is even responsibility falls on curiosity. Because if you're not curious enough to know who in the end is responsible and the thing points back at you, you will keep blaming other people.
Yeah, I agree with you, Lyne. I wouldn't take any more of your time. Carry on, my brother. Good subject.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. Accountability and responsibility, 100% agree. Critical. And deficiencies we have. And for sure, but again, this doesn't have to be an absolute. So this doesn't take away from some of the things any of you are saying at all as critical factors. I mean, you don't have them, you could be curious and it still fails, right? But curiosity is why you ask the question, how can this situation be different? That's where a vision comes from, because someone asked, is this how it, and then they said, no, it can be different. Then you get vision arising, right? And then you ask, okay, curiosity says, well, for me to get it to be what it is not now, how can I do that? That's where planning arises, right? Planning arises. And then in the planning process, curiosity says, what are the resources required to actually make this plan so that we can have a means of getting at the vision, so that we can make things different? And then that's where you start to identify your financial resources, your human resources, your technical resources, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then when you are executing, you are curious as to, are we producing the results we are supposed to be producing? And if not, why not? Why so? Because curiosity, that's why you have good leaders who are driving up and down the enterprise or moving up and down the enterprise, trying to figure out actually what's going on, not with people reporting only by way of paperwork what is going on. So I don't want you to visit a school because the media is following you so you can say, I'm doing something. No, I want you to go to the schools on a Saturday afternoon, on a Thursday in the middle of the day when nobody's watching, and really find out what's going on. That's curiosity. The other thing is public relations. That's curiosity. And that's how you avoid issues in advance. When you are planning a project, you're planning a business strategy, you ask, what could make this fail? That's curiosity. Not only what can make it succeed, what could actually make this fail? That's how the scientists are discovering what they're discovering. They're continuously asking themselves, why is the universe operating this way? Why are people behaving this way? It is the whole basis of the scientific enterprise, curiosity. So we are sitting sometimes in these lofty offices, and we're not asking the right questions. We're not asking any questions. And then when sometimes we're not asking the right questions of the right people, because I could promise you this, if you are CEO and you are president, or you are general manager, or you are minister or principal or prime minister, if you ask the right questions and insist on an answer, everyone up down the chain of command has to mobilize to get you an answer. What is our profitability? What is our revenue growth? What is our expenditure trajectory? What is our efficiency in this area? What are our scores in this area? What are our attendance levels in this area? If you ask the right set of questions and insist on an answer, you pull your whole organizations into account. You heard Mr. Major say it? You make the whole thing accountable by virtue of fashioning the right set of questions. Questions you want answered on a daily basis. Questions you want answered on a weekly basis. Questions you want answered on a monthly basis. Questions you want answered on a quarterly basis. Questions you want answered on an annual basis. Because the question mobilizes everyone to account. You set a goal. You said, why are we not here? Or why are we here, not there? And the whole system gets driven by your curiosity. That's just my take on the matter. Not undermining any of the many solid stuff that you put out. This says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. I think staying ahead on the cutting edge of the leadership is very important. Thank you. Yeah. Any leadership who's a leader is interested in continuous development and growth. Says, the most important part of leadership is how you treat those who answer to you. Accountability, respect, and fairness, visionary, and planner. People, and how you treat people, your folk, is important. Very, very, very important. Say, agreed, you have to learn to lead, says that person. This says, loving what you do, have a heart for it. This would drive curiosity and urge to delve deeper. That could be very well be true. I can't argue with that. That could very well be true. This text says trust. Trust is critical, crucial. Caring about the people you are leading, absolutely critical. In fact, I don't even use the word caring. I use the word love, but I don't use it in some fuzzy, wuzzy way. You know, it's love has, if I use the 1 Corinthians 13 definition of it, love is kind and patient and long-suffering and humble, et cetera, et cetera. These traits and characteristics are just great traits and characteristics for any effective, authentic leader. It says perseverance or determination. Someone says influence, communication, all critical, meaning you can't do without them. All essential, can't do without them. So don't mind my voice. I just, all right? It says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. The most essential trait in leadership is integrity. You want the integrity? Yeah, integrity is important. Very important and critically important. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Do we have a caller? Hi, go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hello.
Hello.
Good evening, Mr. Lang. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm right here, man. Good afternoon. What's up?
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to ask you a question. You take a lot of time. I listen to you a lot. And you pound in a lot of your knowledge into a lot of us about your learnings, your experiences, family, politics, money, economics, and all of that. And I really appreciate it. But what I don't understand sometimes, just for a moment, not breaking your subject now, the last show that I was listening to, the person said he was having an open line show. So if you have an open line show, once I don't disrespect anybody using any obscene language or nothing, why would you turn around and tell me that you want me to stick on the topic that you're talking about if you said it's an open line show? If it's an open line show, don't you think I should be able to say what I want to talk about if it's open
generally,
line?
That's what it means, generally. Yeah.
That's what it generally means. The last show I listened to all day, he was talking PLP, FNM, PLP, FNM. Every day, all day, the same thing. So now if I want to talk about something different today, and you said it's open line show, and I want to talk about farming or something like that, or how we could grow our own food and improve the health of our nation, why you want me to talk about the PLP and FNM all over again? We just talked about that yesterday. Why we got to talk about it every day? Can we talk about something different today? Sometime. Have a good day.
Yeah, man. Take care. This text says humility. Humility is an important trait in leadership. That's for sure.
But don't, sometimes we misunderstand what humility is, and so we think people who humble guy do everything you say. But yes, humility is important. This is, I get upset when I see Facebook posts from teachers who can't spell anything. You mean it? No, you can't say they can't spell anything. Nothing. Nothing. They write a whole post and nothing spelled right, not even the I. Say, honesty is the most essential trait. Honesty is critical, crucial for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wanted to drive the point home that we have to be more curious. Challenges we see in education and other places, they are born of a failure of leadership to be curious enough. That's what they are. They're born of a failure to be curious. And curiosity drives you to know. You can't just, you're not curious if you simply do nothing about it. My curiosity leads me to YouTube and to the internet and to books and to people asking questions, etc. That's what curiosity does. It drives you to know. And so you have to have a level of curiosity sufficient to drive you to do things that you might not ordinarily do. I use this as an example a lot. And y'all can get mad with me. Those of you get mad if you wish. I'm sitting up in the Ministry of Education office. Phone rings, my cell phone. Bring, bring, bring. Hello? Vago, come downstairs. This is the Right Honorable Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Calls me. I go downstairs. He is in a car. Ain't no aid, nobody. He's in a car. Tells me, get in. I get in the car. I'm like, this is weird. Drives me to Uriah Makri School, where they were having issues with a air conditioned system. We going down there to check to make sure the installation was being done, because this was on a weekend. Yes, I was in the office on a weekend. This was on a weekend. And we went down there, we talked to the contractors, talked to the principal and so forth and so forth and what, to make sure them people was doing their work. This the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, and me, the minister, wasn't even doing that. Didn't do that. But it was a lesson I learned, though. Oh, sugar, I learned that lesson. One other occasion, let me say, Shibago, when last you been down to the sports center? I say, maybe 2 weeks ago. He said, you got a wall being constructed down there? I said, yes, sir. When last you check to see what's going on down there? You need to go check on that. On and then people them stalled. How he know? He been there on Sunday. Gotta be curious. Many times. I hear down the road there X, Y, and Z, Y. One principal, he done talk to one principal, one teacher, one somebody. Curiosity matters. We have to learn to be more. You can't be everywhere, man. No, that's not the point. The point is that you have to know the critical points in your system, and you have to be curious enough to understand what's going on in those critical points to deal with it, right? So you go in education. When do we have election? In May. When we have election? In May, right? Was it May? Right? Somebody let me know. It was May, right? And yeah, May 12th, right? So you have May 12th to June 12th, that's 1 month. June 12th to July 12th, that's 2 months. July 12th to August 12th, that's 3 months. Right? Now, we know work has happened at education. We know that. We know that, but we know that this critical problem, this critical issue. Now, remember now, you can't see he hasn't said this and he cannot say this. The Minister of Education cannot say he just reached. It's the same about you.
because the government was the government for 5 years. Four plus years prior to May 12th. So this is a continuum of the same administration addressing a matter. Same. And so in 5 years, the chronic problem of teacher shortage, principal shortage may be not addressed satisfactorily, not eliminated. Why? I don't know. And I'm not blaming anyone. I'm saying by now, we have to know and we should be able to come and say, listen, here is the issue and this is not going to be resolved next year, the year after, the year after. Because I don't want to hear another national address next year telling me, oh, we have a principal issue. No, you should tell me this year why it is and going. It is likely to continue to be a chronic issue. There might be a reason, a legitimate reason. And it would be good to know. This text says, good day, Lang. The most important thing about leadership is leading. And that covers basically everything. Okay. Say, laugh aloud. You know, Papa, different. I wouldn't be surprised if he was driving around questioning people yesterday. Say, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Thanks for sharing your insights. Really, without curiosity, the leader may also only be managing those he, she should be leading. Yeah. His text says, curiosity took me by surprise, but I'm on board with it. However, once you are sufficiently curious, I believe the next thing is to adopt a little of the leadership styles, because I don't believe anyone's style will deliver the most successful leader. And that is true. We generally have about 4 or 5 leadership styles, and they none of them is the best. They matter to the circumstance or situation that you find yourself in. And so obviously leaders have to be able to adapt. But there's a great deal involved, as anybody who's been in leadership can tell you, is involved with leadership, especially since it's the leadership of a human enterprise. And in the human enterprise, you have the most fundamental challenge of all. God had this challenge. God Almighty, if you're a believer, if you're somebody who believes in the Judeo-Christian God and you read the Bible, God had this challenge. The most fundamental challenge to leadership is the fact that you lead people and people have free will. So you can have people who ignore, meaning they don't know what to do, neglect, meaning they know what to do, but fail to do it, or reject, meaning not only do they know what to do and fail to do it, they have decided to rebel against you in not doing it. And because you have all of that, you can have great challenges in dealing with people. But on the other side of it, people can be immensely creative, immensely innovative. They can be immensely productive. Everything you see around us, every car, every building, every piece of clothing, every piece of utensil, every food that you buy at the food store, you get off the streets or something like that. All of these are the creativity, innovation, and productivity of people. And it is on leadership to be able to coordinate people so as to minimize their challenges and to maximize their strengths for the benefit of a collective mission. That's the idea, right? And inspiring the hearts of our teachers, inspiring the hearts of our parents, and inspiring the hearts of our children has not been a singular or has not been a primary aim and objective or foot of far too many who lead the education enterprise. Has not been. Maybe not even having the capacity to do so. It is a marvel what could happen to children when they get inspired. I've seen it. I'm telling you, when something clicks in them because someone said something, did something, or exposed them to something, when something clicks in them, and they get it, the turnaround is phenomenal. Phenomenal. My son, Zhivago, my eldest son, was failing at math, And it was, you know, obviously as a parent, you don't, you, you that, that hurts you. And we got him some tutoring and stuff like that. And he was improving, but he kept working at it and so forth. We kept talking to him about it. You know, that boy got a, this was at the BJC level. That boy got an A in BJC math. And I asked him one day, I said, Shivago, what do you think was the difference? How come you got it? I didn't even get an A in BJC math. I got a C in BJC math. He said, Daddy, you said to me, you said work hard, then play hard. And that's what I did. As I used to tell my kids, I said, listen, man, once you didn't do the work, your daddy don't care how much video game you play, how much you are with your friends playing outside. Work hard, get it done, and play hard. That once something said, me, listen, man, I was in eighth grade. And some of you all may not know him, but there was a judge in Freeport called Judge Marable. I don't know if he was Guyanese or Trinidadian or what, but he was invited to Hawksville High School when I was in eighth grade to speak to us in the auditorium of Hawksville High School. And he gave us a speech. You know the speech was entitled? The speech was entitled, Never Have to Say, I Wish I Had. That's what he said. He said, never, don't graduate and have to say, I wish I had. Look, let me tell you something. That stuck in my head. That stuck in my head like a pin in a cushion. And I graduated Hawksville High School. On the night I got 10 or something awards, I'd gotten 10 BJCs, 10 GCs. I was head boy. I was all kinds of things in that school. And you know what happened to me on that night? When I was delivering my head boy's address, I remembered what that judge, I reflected on the fact that what that judge said impacted me so much. Never have to say, I wish I had. The time to do it is right now. You want to make that difference? Do it right now. You want to get that grade? Work at it right now. Don't be graduating, wish you cut over the shutter. No, sir. And so we have to motivate. Because, you know, if a teacher doesn't have all the tools she needs, but she gets some motivation because somebody is acknowledging, accepting, confirming, affirming what she does, he does, it may make the difference despite the lack of resources. We know how many brilliant people have been developed in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas with not a tenth of what exists in our education system today. Not a tenth. Taught by monitors, not educators with associate's degrees and bachelor's degrees and master's degrees. Not a tenth of what we have in physical facilities. They're being taught under some tree somewhere. But what they had was the most essential thing any education enterprise needs. A motivated teacher and a motivated students and parents who believed in the teaching enterprise to motivate their children to go and get the necessary out of the education system. That's at the heart of it. We are fooling ourselves, blaming all this crap. Oh, it's because we don't have this kind of facility, and we don't have that kind of facility, and so forth and so forth. Yeah, they may be handicapped in some ways, but at the end of the day, a student needs a motivated teacher, and a teacher needs a motivated student, and together they can work magic. Ain't asking nobody. History is replete with that, replete with it. We should be ashamed in some ways that we can't achieve more out of all we have, given what our parents and other people achieve with the much left they had. I like to tell people, we go to school and we study Plato and Socrates and Euripides and Aristophanes and all of these people. We study them. They had one-tenth of the education facilities we have. You know what they had? Curiosity and dedication and commitment to understanding the world in which they lived, commitment to thinking. But we create handicaps in all these excuses we make about all the things we lack. Well, you lack it, so you might as well just maximize what you got, because that's all you got for now. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody. Everybody. Come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather.
Southwest Plaza has so many stores, I've been trying to find a sensible way to list them all. There's CBS Bahamas, the Ashai Institute, BENC Snack World, Bamboo Shack Bahamas, Air, the Athlete's Foot, and BTC, Games and More, John Bullfine, Threads Alive, Bahari, Dairy Queen, 700 Wines and Spirits, Sandy's, Clarkson Island Luck, Starbucks and Lowe's Pharmacy, plus Marco's Pizza and Lorraine. Southwest Plaza, what a wide array of stores. Southwest Plaza, stop by today and explore.
At Everybody Wins Live, the winning is bigger, the action is hotter, and the excitement never stops. We're giving away thousands in cash and free spins every month through our high-paying casino tournament. From spin-off to spin rush to our high-energy slot race tournament, your next spin can turn into your next payday. But that's not all. Lottery players can chase the jackpot, where every $10 lottery spend gets you one step closer to bursting the next jackpot. Will you be our next winner? What are you waiting for? Visit Everybody Wins Live to see all the ways you can cash in.
Running low on summer funds? Squeeze every drop of fun out of your summer with Fidelity Personal Loan. From backyard upgrades to family getaways, Fidelity is here to help. Call 356-7764 today.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Shop early to get your uniforms and catch today's Uniform Center's buy four, get one free sale. Free monogrammed and regular school shirts, dry fit and cotton polos, jumpers, skirts, boys' long and short pants, PE shorts, underclothes, tights, socks, neckties, belts, sleeping mats, hair accessories, and character work desk. Get 50% off backpacks, lunch bags, and raincoats. Buy four school shirts, get one free. Buy two skirts, jumpers, or pants, get the third 50% off. Need embroidery and monogramming done? Visit Janae's Uniform Center early. Beat the back-to-school rush. Janae's Chesapeake Road back-to-school special. Restrictions apply. This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us. I understand we have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang.
Hey, what's going on?
Man, listen to me. Preach. You know, this is confirmation for me. I just had a conversation with someone last week when I heard those scores. And the same thing you're saying, I said then, you have to be motivated. You could have all the resources in place. Children and the teachers being motivated. That's a waste of time. So keep speaking, man. It's true, man.
And the fact of the matter is, in that same education system that we are calling problematic, there are students who are getting A's, B's, and C's as we wish. So it can be done.
Let me give you my experience when I was in high school. When I was in high school, you know, sometimes the church just talking, carrying on. You know the teacher can say? Oh, y'all can afford it, don't get this. My child in private school. That is anything for a teacher to say? You know what I mean?
No.
So, we have to, as a society, have to realize that's not the resources you have. You have to be interested. And the teacher is there and supposed to make you interested. Learning is fun.
But you know, a teacher, maybe she said it the wrong way, but like, this is what I used to say to my kids. I said, listen, if you regard, and I used to say this to students when I spoke at schools, I say, if you regard education as mango, okay, as mango, and imagine sinking your teeth into that juicy mango and the sweetness of the mango. I said, that's what knowledge is. That's what understanding is. Right. He said, but now guess what? Your teacher already got a mango.
Right.
It's you who want your mango. So you have to tell your friends when they starting to bother you, listen, bro, I came here to get my mango.
Yeah,
chill,
right.
I trying to get my mango. So that's what we have to. So it's not that Mike's child is in private school, but listen, I already have my mango. I'm trying to give you yours. If you if you squander this, that's the problem. That's a problem on you, because I already got my mango.
Yeah, I agree with that. Well, so what needs to happen to our government need to motivate these teachers too? Pay them, man.
Yeah, everybody has to be motivated, man.
You know what's so hateful for me?
Uh-huh.
As a citizen watching what's going on, you could pay someone when you bring them in. You got to be responsible for their housing. I'm sure they got to give them a stipend. Even with the nurses. Pay these people, man. It seems to me like you just don't want us to get ahead. But anyway, you have a good day, sir.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Motivation is not a cheap thrill. It isn't. It's not the only thing, but it's not a cheap thrill. Educators have to be motivated. They have to have drive. Drive and motivation aren't the same thing. We all have drive. We have hunger drives. We have sex drives. We have thirst drives, etc. Those are just cravings that get generated in our bodies, right? But motivation is a sense of purpose that gets generated from an understanding, an aha moment. Right. And motivation can sometimes, you know, you could say what we want. If them teachers, God told Abram. He said, Abram, follow me and I will take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. He said, get up out of this country you are in, Ur of the Chaldees. He said, and go and follow me and I shall take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. He didn't say philosophical enlightenment. He didn't say intellectual ascent. He didn't say to him anything abstract. He said milk and honey. You know why? Because Abram would understand milk and honey. Teachers have to feed themselves and their families. They aspire to a life that's more for themselves too. And I know the constraints, the financial and fiscal constraints, etc. But we have to tap into what motivates them. I don't, in my own experience, and trust me, Progressive Liberal Party under Glenys Anna Martin established a teacher morale committee. You hear me? A teacher morale committee. It was chaired by Reverend Palacios, not the husband wife. Wonderful human being, right? And she was the chair. Do you know who was the deputy chair? Chivago Jean Lang. Yes, the Progressive Liberal Party administration established this committee, and I was the deputy chair on the teacher morale committee. And what we discovered, all teachers aren't saying, I want money, 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 money. But what they are saying is, I really shouldn't have to use my money to fix up a classroom. And the fact that I can't fix the classroom up is demotivating. And so you recommend give these teachers a stipend to be able to fix their classes up. They talk about training because they want more training. Well, how about we allocate sums of money for that training? You allocate the money and the people them still can't get the money. First of all, the money, the amount of allocation ain't sufficient to begin with. I cannot understand us. I really can't understand us. We could spend $700 million. Send it to NIF. We could take hundreds of millions of dollars. Pave roads. Hundreds of millions of dollars in pave roads. We could spend tens of millions of dollars on beaches and parks. Tens of millions of dollars in traveling. And I promise you the line item for training teachers ain't for $3 million. Ain't that? If we don't see something wrong with that picture, we don't see that. We don't see these teachers go to family islands and they're not very excited about it. Yeah, man, raise the level of hardship and stipend so they could be more Give them a reason to go. Spending up all this money doing out of nothing. All I'm saying, listen, man. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We're going to take our final break. We'll be back for this final break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Wendy's is spicing things up this summer with the new jalapeno ranch cheeseburger. A hot, juicy beef patty topped with spicy jalapenos, creamy ranch sauce, melted cheese, and fresh toppings for the perfect balance of cool and spicy. Every bite brings bold flavor that keeps you coming back for more. Turn up the flavor with the new jalapeno ranch cheeseburger at Wendy's today. Available for a limited time only.
Managing your investments just got easier with RF Bank and Trust. You can now deposit funds directly into your investment account from any local bank using your brokerage cash account number. It's simple, secure, and funds are available within 1 to 2 business days. Just log into RF Online to find your account number, add RF Bank and Trust as a payee in your preferred banking app, and send your funds directly to your RF account. To learn more, visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
Did you know that world-class medicine is just a quick flight away in Tampa? Tampa General is Florida's premier academic health system and one of America's top hospitals. Our global medicine program delivers advanced treatment options, assists with coordinating travel, and provides cultural support from a multilingual team. Discover the power of academic medicine at Tampa General's Global Medicine Program. For more, visit tgh.org/globalmedicine.
If you need anything in regards to painting, Bahamian Paint has everything that will satisfy all your painting needs. Sandpaper, rags, paintbrushes, tapes, tarps, spackling paste, putty, putty knives, disposable spray guns, caulking, expandable foam, hydraulic cement, paint thinner, and solvents. And that's not it. The list goes on. Industrial coatings for any industry. Remember, Bahamian Paint has all you can dream of when it comes to your painting needs. Bahamian Paint on Harold Road and Mackey Street. Call today, 326-3425.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to call us in these last remaining moments, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. We're going to talk a lot about education in the months ahead and what happens. I want to just say these few things before we go. The Minister of Education in his national address said that the government is investing $400+ million in education. So honestly, I hear him, right? But let's be real, okay? $400 million or $4.2 or $3 billion represents around between 10 and 12% of total government expenditure. That's far below what many believe ought to be the percentage of the total expenditure on education, because if there's one thing that's going to impact the Bahamas and needs to impact the Bahamas greatly, is an improvement in what we call total factor productivity. And total factor productivity, an element of that is education, right? Is, and this is an impact for generations. This upskilling, I 100% support what the government is doing with the upskilling program. And I pray thousands of Bahamians take advantage, continue to take advantage of it, and in a way that's really meaningful, right? But a fundamental movement in our education enterprise, in the way and in the results it is able to deliver for our society is required. And that requirement is a requirement that isn't only looking at grades. Bro, keep looking at them grades, right? But it's a requirement that looks at turning on the mind of a student toward curiosity about life and a desire to learn and learn how to learn and a desire for information and so forth and so forth, and a willingness to be a thinker, to be a real, genuine thinker about life. That's what we need to generate more of in the country. We need to generate people who want to really think, not people who thinking is happening to, because most of our thinking is just happening to us, but people who are thinking, who are able to focus on an issue and examine the issue and try to see whether or not they can determine by themselves or with other people what problem is and how it might be solved. That's what we really, really, really need. And those people are not necessarily going to be A students or B students. Many of them may be C students and become the entrepreneurs in our country. And then the A students might get them and end up in med school and something like that and so forth. No problem, we need all of them. But the enterprise has to put out thinkers and conscientious citizens, and emotionally intelligent souls. What do you want? I want my child to be a thinker, to be able to listen to their daddy or their mommy and say, well, you know, I agree with that. Oh, no, I don't agree with that. And here's the reason why. Thinkers. And then to be conscientious citizens. Listen, man, this is my country. I can't do that. I'm literate. I'm not doing that. I have to obey the law because the law keeps us all able to live harmoniously with each other. I'm not doing yes. And then to be emotionally intelligent people to say, you know what? I'm angry right now, but I need to take a break so that could subside because I don't want to do what I feel like doing, which is slapping the hell out of somebody right now. Emotionally intelligent people who are able to empathize with people, sympathize with people, who are able to care about people, be kind and gracious to people. Not be run over by anybody. Simply understand that I live with other people. I get that kind of person out of my education system, and I am good. No, you ain't no A student, you're no B student. Oh, okay. But you could think, oh, sugar. But you're conscientious as a citizen. Oh, sugar. But you're emotionally intelligent. You know how to deal with yourself and with other people. Oh, sugar. I just hit the lottery with you. That's what we need. And we need the leadership of the education enterprise to know that they lead people. You don't lead no roof with a leak. That has to be fixed, but that's not the leadership. Huh? The Minister of Education said that they are looking at a pilot project to put laptops in the hands of students. I don't know if the minister knows, but he should check the files. Been there, done that. It wasn't laptops. Well, it may have been laptops, but it was computers. Been there, done that. Ran into an issue. What was the issue? Too many of the teachers who had to be trained to use computers didn't. He said he wanted to do that in order for us to be able to have children in the Family Islands educating the same way as the children in New Providence. That doesn't need a laptop. That's not a laptop that's necessary. How about you put Zoom facilities in the Family Islands so that as the teacher teaches in New Providence, the student in Andres or McCall or wherever could just get the same lesson at the same time. It's happening all over the world right now. It's not a question of laptop. Maybe the laptop is not a question of laptop. You have one screen in the classroom, and not all the children could listen and watch the same lesson. Let's not waste money, man. Me and Marty did the $100 million in laptops. Ask her how that went. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. All right, go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Okay, we don't say the line item for in-service awards, tuition fees for 2026-2027 head. 35, Department of Education is $155,576. Listen to me. Listen to me. I thought it was in the hundreds of thousands, in the hundred thousands, right? But I just wanted to allow. We are wasting money. Millions of dollars we are spending on travel. Millions of dollars overspent in beaches and bar. Millions. Millions. We throw away $107,000 before election buying vouchers for people. You know, we know the in-service award for our teachers is? For thousands of teachers now, $155,576. Are we serious? Really? Okay. All I'm saying is, man, let me tell you something. If we can be serious, let's be serious. Right? Stop joking, man. We can be serious. Let's be serious. And we could be serious. Listen, man, spend some of that money. Spend some of that doggone money in education where it matters. And don't, oh, you say, well, why this one didn't do it, that one didn't do it. Okay, well, shame on them. Shame on them. One of the first things they ain't gonna do when it came to education was the increased education pay. And the entry level for education pay was substantially increased. I lie. Huh? Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, it's allowing our children need to see more male role models who must visit school so that boy students especially can have hope in what is possible for them. Right now, the examples are drug dealers and music stars. No, not healthy. We're going to continue this conversation on education for sure, I promise you, all right? Because we got this. This is important. So thank you for listening today. Thank you for joining us. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shabba Lang, your host. We'll be back tomorrow.
Take a stand, everybody, come take my hand.